This sermon by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, December 18th, 2005, and is entitled, The Miracle of Christmas, taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22.
Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to be in your presence. I pray that as we gather around your word, that you would open it to us. I pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, speak the word that we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, thank you. I appreciate your leading us this morning. I love Christmas music because every time I hear Christmas music, my mind gets flooded with memories. Admittedly, when I was younger, those memories were toy-filled. And I marked Christmas by what I got. That was the Frogman G.I. Joe Christmas. That was the white pedal car Christmas. I remember because my brother Ron got a grenade launcher. It was a great Christmas. But as I've gotten older, Christmas is still marked by memories, but those memories tend to be faces. Now I look back and say, that was the last Christmas with Granny and Daddo in Pryor. And all the uncles and aunts and cousins were all together, most of whom are gone. Yeah, I remember because that was the last Christmas with Meemaw and Pawpaw. That was the last Christmas with Mom. I guess this year, more than any other year, Christmas has been more a time of serious reflection. I found myself a lot this year thinking about peace on earth. Part of that's because I'm older. I think part of it is because of Isaac's experience and he got to come home in time for Christmas. I think part of it's the fact that Mose is there, and so people I know really for the first time in my life have been away at war during this time of year. So as I've thought about peace on earth, there is that part of me that's wondered, is that just a Christmas wish? Is peace on earth more than a pipe dream? Is there any opportunity for it to become a living reality? Because let's be honest, we live in a world filled with strife and contention. Sure, there is the war in Afghanistan and there's the war in Iraq, but there's also a great cultural war going on right here at home. Worldviews are colliding. Perspectives are being altered. There is a major shift going on in culture that's resulting in chaos. Long-held traditions, deeply held beliefs are being shaken. And as a result, we live in a chaotic kind of world. A world in which there is a desperate cry for peace. And that cry is for real peace. Not that momentary ceasefire. Not just a moment where it seems to die down for a day or two. But real, genuine, lasting, sure enough peace. Is that even possible in the world we live in? Some of you are old enough, others of you are students enough of history to know that in 1938, in September, Neville Chamberlain walked out of the peace meeting saying, "We have achieved peace in our time." And 1 year later, the Nazis invaded Poland and World War II began. Did you know that between the year 1500 B.C. and 800 A.D., there were 7,500 eternal covenants of peace signed, none of which lasted longer than 2 years? So there's that part of me that says, peace on earth is a nice idea, but could it ever happen? Is there really any hope for a real and lasting peace? There's a part of me that says, just not possible. But there is another part of me that says, with God, all things are possible. Our text this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to begin reading at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came, and He preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, writing to them about the heartbeat of the gospel. And I believe this passage is very appropriate as we think of peace on earth, because Paul makes it abundantly clear the coming of the Lord Jesus paves the way for a permanent peace. It is the coming of Christ. That's why the good news was announced, peace on earth. Because of the coming of Christ, because He makes it possible. This is the message of Christmas. It is the story of how God became man so that He could bring peace to sinful, stubborn, rebellious folks like you and like me. He paves the way to real, lasting peace. He came to bring peace to troubled souls. Do you remember what Jesus' invitation was? It's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's why He came. That's the meaning of this season. Three things I want to note quickly from this text. First of all, I want you to note in verses 11 and 12, the necessity of Christmas is found in man's alienation. Christmas isn't just something that happened. It was the eternal plan of God, and it was the eternal plan of God for a reason. It was necessary. It was absolutely essential because of the unrest in the heart of man. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That is the reason for all the unrest in our world. That is the cause of strife and division. It is the fact that we are separated from God. It is the fact that we are alienated from our Creator. And as a result, there is in the heart of man an open hostility toward God and toward others. This is where each one of us reside apart from Christ. And Paul piles up truth upon truth to reveal just how desperate we are. Notice he said, separated from Christ, divided from our Creator, the one who is the truth, the life, and the way, the one who is the only mediator. We are separated from Him. We are excluded from citizenship. We are foreigners to the covenants and to the promise. We are without hope because we are without God in the world. And Christmas is necessary because of our alienation, because of our estrangement. Because when we were with God in the garden at creation, there was love and harmony and fellowship. But when our first parents rebelled from that, and sin and death entered the world, corruption entered the world, we ran from God. They wanted no part of God. They were now afraid of God. And what happened soon after? Murder, strife, war, corruption. That's who we are apart from the gospel. That's who we are apart from Christ. And no stick in the world is big enough to guarantee a lasting peace. Peace can only come through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Peace can only come by being made at peace with God and in turn with one another. And that's what Paul's trying to say in this passage. That's what he's seeking to drive home. Our hopelessness, our alienation, the reason for strife and struggle and war, it's because we are not what we were created to be. We are without hope. Hopelessness. And no amount of singing and no amount of good cheer can make the pain and the emptiness of that hopelessness go away for longer than a few days. Everybody gets a little nicer this time of year. Folks smile more. But it doesn't last. Because it can't last. Because there's emptiness. Because there's hopelessness. And the answer is found in Christ. That's the wonder of the Christmas story. Paul piles these images one on top of another. Separated, excluded, foreigners, without hope, without God. And it's as if he can't take it anymore, so he interrupts himself in verse 13. But now in Christ, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul interrupts himself and says, because of the riches of His mercy, because of the greatness of His love, He has provided for us. He's overcome the enmity that exists. Enmity is an open, settled hostility. And that hostility exists between God and man, between Jew and Gentile, between men on earth. And the only way for that to change is through the gospel of Christ. But in Christ, you who were far off are brought near. How is all this accomplished? According to verse 13, by the blood of His cross. According to verse 14, because the Lord Jesus Himself is our peace. Again in verse 16, He's done all of this through the cross of the Lord Jesus. That is the wonder of this season. That God would become man. That He would enter into this sin-filled world. That He would step into His own creation. That He would take upon Himself a body of flesh to be despised, to be rejected, and ultimately to be butchered for the purpose of making it possible for us to be at peace with God and at peace with one another. That's the message of Christmas. That's the significance of this story. And I want you to note the fruit or the harvest of this wonderful gift that was given. It's in verse 19 and 20. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. You are now fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. What is the result of the coming of Christ? What is the result of His coming at Christmas? Foreigners, strangers are brought near. Aliens are made citizens. Enemies are made family. And sinners are made into a holy dwelling place because of Christ. I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. Christmas is absolutely meaningless apart from the gospel. Apart from the message of God's love for us in Christ, all of the trappings, all of the singing, all of the decorating, all of the party going is absolutely worthless and without any meaning at all. And until you get that, you'll never get Christmas. You'll never understand its significance. Because all of this that happens was not for a day or a week or even a year, but for all eternity by the grace of God. He came to make peace possible, to bring an end to the hostility. First, to give you peace with God, because the Scripture says, apart from a relationship with Christ, you are hostile in mind and heart toward God Himself. The Scripture says, for those who are in their natural state, the state of sin, they are the enemy of God. The only way to peace is through the gospel of Christ, to come to know peace with God. And then as a result of your peace with God, to possess the peace of God that then enables you to be at peace with others. That's the message. That's the story. And my prayer is that you will grab hold of the truth and the significance, the joy and the splendor of this season. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the message of Christmas. Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of the gospel, for the simple truth of how hopeless rebels can be brought into loving relationship with the King of the universe because of Christ. Because of His sinless, perfect life lived for us. Because of His life given for us on the cross. And that for all who will turn from their sin and trust in Christ, the gift of life eternal and life abundant is given. Father, teach us this truth. Bring our mind and heart back to this reality, that we might experience You, that we might worship You, that we would give ourselves to You in service and devotion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.